I'm joined on the line right now with author and activist Chris Dixon, who is joining us on Skype from his home in Ottawa to talk about his new book that was just released called Another Politics, Talking Across Today's Transformative Movements. Welcome to the program, Chris.
It's great to be here, Aaron.
So to begin, can you tell us a little bit about your book, Another Politics, Talking Across Today's Transformative Movements, and give us a broad outline of what this book is all about?
So this book is basically based on me doing a bunch of interviews with radical activists and organizers across the US and Canadian contexts over the last several years. I've traveled around and tried to talk to people who had a lot of experience involved in various kinds of struggles in organizing and campaigns, everything from migrant justice organizing to feminist institution building to prison industrial complex, abolitionism, and onward. And what I was trying to do in these interviews was get a sense of a kind of broad shared politics that I think a lot of people on the radical left are kind of developing and have been developing over the last couple of decades. And I also wanted to try and tap into what I found to be brilliant insights and lessons, and also the kinds of challenges and questions that so many of us are learning and also grappling with. And the book is an attempt to try and characterize some of these shared politics, but also really gather together and collect many of the insights, the questions, the challenges, the tensions that I think so many of us are grappling with across this continental context right now, as we try to really struggle to create a different kind of world.
Mm-hmm. So in the process of researching this book, you interviewed around 200 different activists and community organizers. Can you elaborate a little bit more about this kind of shared politics that you've been seeing with kind of this up-and-coming generation of activists? I guess what united, or what were some of the common threads between all of the different interviews for this book?
So I should say that I was actually really quite selective in who I approached. I was seeing a lot of convergence in how people were understanding themselves, talking about their politics, and really kind of grounding the sorts of struggles and organizing work that they were involved in. But I was also trying to select people who, to my mind, were speaking in a similar kind of vocabulary, not necessarily the same vocabulary, but related kinds of vocabularies. And what I should say is that what I found was that people were coming out of what I found to be kind of three major political strands that I think have been growing for the last few decades and have really come to influence how so many of us think about who we are and what we're doing. And these strands are women of color feminism, which really goes all the way back into the 1970s, if not earlier. The second one being prison abolitionism, which also has similarly long roots. And the last one was anarchist politics, or anarchism, as it's been kind of reinvented since the 1960s movements. And this is not to say that those exhaust the kinds of politics that people are coming out of, or the kinds of lineages of struggle that people are rooting themselves in. But I think these are very significant strands that have influenced a lot of us. And out of this, what I'm seeing is a kind of shared politics that, just for shorthand, I've taken to calling another politics, kind of as a gesture to the Zapatista rebels in Chiapas. And I think there's a lot to say about what another politics is, but four things that really have stood out for me in looking at it are, one, a very strong commitment to what some people would call anti-oppression politics, or a kind of view that we should be struggling against all forms of exploitation, oppression, and domination, including colonialism, capitalism, racism, heteropatriarchy, and ableism, among others. A second thing being a commitment to what some people might call prefigurative politics, which basically means us trying to the best of our abilities and within the limited circumstances that we're in, create the world that we'd like to see through how we're organizing right now. So trying to work on manifesting our values and our commitments and how we organize, right? So using things like direct democracy, for example, prioritizing ways of relating with each other that are based in really strong egalitarian commitments. These are forms of prefigurative politics. I think a third commonality is a commitment to struggling in the conditions that we're currently in, but always with a connection and a view toward the radically transformed world that we want to create. So I think about this as a kind of visionary organizing approach that definitely sometimes means struggling for really basic things, like for people to have the right to housing, or to fight tuition increases, or to fight deportations, but at the same time, holding a really radical vision and trying to root these struggles in a much more radical vision that's about fundamentally a world where people wouldn't have to pay tuition or borders would not even exist. So the fourth commonality that I'll mention briefly is a commitment to bottom-up organizing. And by this I mean organizing in the sense of actually trying to bring people together and build power together, not just expressing dissent, not just engaging in resistance, but actually trying to bring people together in greater and greater numbers, but at the same time doing it in such a way that it's deeply democratic, that people are actually shaping priorities, campaigns, and goals themselves. It's not about imposing these on anyone, and instead about sort of unleashing popular capacities to engage and struggle together, and we hope build movements at the scale and with the density that we can actually take on ruling institutions and, you know, put policymakers and rulemakers in a position that they have to actually accede to what we want. So that's a broad outline of some of the kinds of commonalities that I've been encountering and hearing and when I talk to people.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, a couple of the specific movements that you've mentioned where we've seen this another politics manifested is, of course, Occupy Wall Street and the Occupy movement that happened throughout many cities in North America and around the world in 2011, as well as you mentioned Cairo and, of course, the Egyptian Revolution, maybe the Arab Spring, as it's known more broadly. But can you give us maybe a couple other examples of specific movements that are featured in your book and that have inspired, I guess, you to explore them further?
For sure. I mean, those are some of the more recent manifestations, right? But I think that we can actually see some longer term ways that that movements that are in some way taking up or influenced by another politics have been happening. I mean, two that I looked at very closely and spent a lot of time with people who were involved in them are radical migrant justice organizing on both sides of the U.S.-Canadian border. I think in the Canadian context, there's so much to learn from No One Is Illegal and the kinds of radical visions that No One Is Illegal collectives in many different cities have been creating, and the kind of broad migrant justice movement that they have been creating. And then on the U.S. context side, so much of the kind of direct action immigrant rights organizing that has been happening to fight deportations, which of course have been escalating under the Obama administration. And also there, we see examples of people kind of articulating a vision against borders, right? Against immigration regimes regulating people's lives. So that's one example of a movement that's been actually going on for quite some time and is still, I think, really quite powerful. And another one, of course, is the movement against the prison industrial complex, which in the United States is at a very different scale than it is in Canada, although I think it's important to say that in the Canadian context, there are important efforts to fight against the expansion of the prison system and the prison industrial complex more generally. And I think really since the 1990s, there's been a really exciting development of that movement that's pushing back against the expansion of prison regimes, and that is trying to pose alternatives, right? To think about what it would mean to create safer and less harmful situations in our communities that don't rely on prisons, cops, and courts. And at the same time, within this movement, we see examples of people figuring out ways to actually push back and fight the expansion of prisons and the construction of prisons. And in some places, we see instances like, for example, right now in Pennsylvania with Decarcerate PA, people really developing very ambitious campaigns to decarcerate, to actually try and limit the scope of prisons and shrink them. And I really see a lot in those kinds of anti-prison politics and anti-prison organizing efforts. I see a lot of resonance with another politics.
Mm-hmm. Again, we're speaking with author and activist Chris Dixon about his new book, Another Politics, Talking Across Today's Transformative Movements. One of the things that this book explores is building links between the work of what you describe as against and beyond. Can you tell us what you mean by this?
For sure. Yeah, those are probably the two most abstract concepts that come up in this book. And I take them from a radical theorist named John Holloway. And the way I understand them and use them is that these are two aspects that I think are crucial for transformative movements. Against, in my understanding, means our efforts to fight ruling institutions, right? To fight the damage and violence that ruling institutions and systems are creating in people's lives every single day, and the ways that they're destroying ecosystems. And we do this often in defensive ways, in campaigns that are based around trying to preserve certain rights, to protect people, to protect ecosystems, many of the ways that we go about doing campaigns every day. The beyond part, I think, is our efforts within movements to create alternatives, to create really viable alternatives that suggest that other ways of organizing our society is possible. These often are small efforts, but I think they're often the most successful and exciting when they can be actually rooted in things like counter-institutions, right? So examples of counter-institutions are health clinics or community land trusts, various ways that people actually build institutions that manifest our values and our vision of what a different society could be, and at the same time actually provide for people's everyday needs. So they're institutions that in some sense serve and at the same time are connected to movements and connected to a broader radical vision. And so when I talk about against and beyond our efforts to fight and our efforts to create, I think they have to go together. We have to think about how we can build movements that always hold both of these things at the same time. Because if we do one or the other, it's too limited. We're not actually going to be able to realize our radical dreams. If we just fight and we don't have the alternatives, we're not posing the alternatives, we will be in constant state of resistance and struggle, which is important, but we're not actually going to be able to get to the point where we might actually be able to have what we want and see that on a scale that actually comes into contact with the lives of millions of people. And if we only focus on building alternatives and we don't fight, then we may well end up just within our own isolated subcultural scenes with particular kinds of institutions that really only serve tiny groups of people and don't actually help in any way to put limits on the violence of the systems that we're in and actually push back against them.
Mm-hmm. Lastly, Chris, I'm interested to talk a little bit more about, you know, this idea of anti-authoritarian politics is something that your book looks at very closely. And I guess to look at it either in relation or in tension with anarchist politics, which is another strand that that you know you're exploring within this book. I know you yourself, you do work with the Institute for Anarchist Studies, and I'm wondering maybe if you could elaborate a little bit on that, because there's been times when I've heard, you know, anti-authoritarian and anarchist movements or ideas set up in complementarity to one another, and at times in tension to one another. And I'm wondering if that is something you explore in your book, or if you have any kind of reflections on that.
I think that's an excellent question, Aaron. It's a challenging one. So the way that I tend to think about it actually is partly based on Maya Ramnath's work in Decolonizing Anarchism, another interesting book, where she talks about there being a sort of umbrella of politics in which there are cousins, we might think of, right? So various kinds of these politics, and anarchism being one of them, that have relationships. They're like cousins with other kinds of politics, although they're not all exactly the same. And I tend to think of anti-authoritarian as part of this umbrella, really, as the bigger picture. And I think of certain kinds of anarchist politics, especially anarchist politics that are serious about movement building and are serious about organizing, as related to anti-authoritarian politics, as perhaps kind of one variety of anti-authoritarian politics. But part of what I've encountered in spending all this time talking with people and being involved in these different kinds of campaigns and organizations across the continent is that there are many other varieties of politics. There are many other kinds of people who are engaged in what I think of as anti-systemic organizing that has a really profound commitment to fighting all forms of oppression and is holding the state at a distance, right? Is very, very critical toward the state, but not necessarily willing to call itself anarchism, right? And there are a variety of reasons why people might want to not take on the anarchist label, or it may not speak to them. But I think nonetheless that there is a lot of affinity that can be shared among some of these different kinds of politics. And that's part of the reason why I've been so excited to really learn more about the possibilities of, say, prison industrial complex, abolitionist politics, because I think there's much that's there that's actually very valuable and is anti-authoritarian, but in only some ways overlaps with anarchism. And I should be upfront here too. The other thing that's going on is that anarchist politics, as they've manifested in North America in the last two decades, if not longer, has been significantly shaped by a kind of white middle class, or I should say largely white and middle class subculture. And for that reason, it has very serious kinds of limitations. Now, that's not to say that there aren't ways that people are pushing at anarchism and shaping it into something that I think is more relevant and actually speaks to the profound diversity of radicalism and of people who are engaged in radical politics. But I think there are some profound limitations within anarchism. And so anti-authoritarianism is a way to talk about something that's larger and that is a kind of broader arena in which there are many different kinds of politics and ways that people identify themselves. And I think it's a useful way to not just assign people the label anarchist when they don't necessarily self-identify that way.
The book is called Another Politics, Talking Across Today's Transformative Movements by Chris Dixon. It's out right now, and there's a foreword by Angela Davis, which is really exciting. People can find more information about it on Chris's website, writingwithmovements.com. Chris, I know you're going to be doing a West Coast tour and some book launch events later this month, and then coming through Montreal in February, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's my hope.
All right. Can you tell us a little bit more about the plans for this book?
In terms of the tour plans?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so next week I actually leave for Victoria, BC, and I'll be going from Victoria to San Diego and doing about 20 events along the West Coast over a five-week period. And I'm really pleased to be doing workshops and speaking in conversation with organizers in a whole variety of cities along the West Coast. The idea behind this book was never actually to try and sell a book. The idea was to try and open up spaces where lots of us radical organizers engaged in lots of different kinds of movements could sit down and have some serious, deep conversations together about what we're doing and how we assess what we're doing and how we could make it bigger and better. And so I'm hoping that these events down the West Coast can help in some small way in catalyzing some of those kinds of conversations. And yeah, in early 2015, my intention is to do a tour across the Canadian context. And during that time, I will most definitely be coming through Montreal and then be heading out as far as Alberta. And then in the spring, I'll actually be going down the U.S. East Coast.
All right. Again, we've been speaking with Chris Dixon about his new book, Another Politics, Talking Across Today's Transformative Movements. Chris, thanks so much for speaking with us today.
It's been a real pleasure, Aaron. Thank you.